Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan, along with my best friend and partner for life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey. Well, last week we began the 40 days of Teshuvah, a time set aside for a deeper reflection into our spirituality and our sins of omission, which we often don't think about. We will continue in that vein tonight as we watch the West Coast wildfires and the South and East Coast hurricanes manifesting as expected during Teshuvah. Let us humbly pray.
Lord, we're in awe of your many attributes. In fact, you have them all. You are wonderfully great and full of compassion and total forgiveness. We certainly are unworthy to even know you, but because of your Son, we are one with your Trinity. May we especially ponder our misgivings during these serious days, contemplating on how we can better serve you. Let us set aside our own desires in order to meet your expectations, for we truly do want to know you more. We continue to beg your prodding on our lost loved ones for salvation, and we lift up to your throne these special and recent prayer requests. May you be blessed by this seldom taught study tonight. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And Lord, we also ask for special protection on those who call you their Savior. And please turn any calamitous situation into good, as only you can do. Amen.
Before we review from last week, any news that's newsworthy tonight?
Yeah. Well, I want to start off with that it was only a matter of time before Jesuit Pope Francis officially and openly agreed with the global elites, like Bill Gates, in calling for global COVID vaccinations, even though he knows that those vaccines contain aborted human baby cells. He is a globalist, so surely knows these coming vaccines are at least one of the weapons of choice for the New World Order's depopulation agenda. And by using nanotechnology, which is a form of artificial intelligence, all will be tracked to be used by the coming Antichrist system.
They say there will have to be at least two shots.
Yes. One of which will contain this global digital identification.
Of course, we hope we don't have to see much of that.
But the foreshadows certainly have arrived.
Mm-hmm. Remember all those high-level meetings with Microsoft at the Vatican?
I do, which has resulted in more than just a few partnerships on a variety of levels. For quite a while now, we have been watching the New World Order's players reveal their agenda. And those with any discernment can see it.
And those who don't will likely be the ones taking the vaccine.
And agree to receive the implantable immunity passports as laid out in Agenda ID 2020. Anyhow, I am also waiting for the Pope, a.k.a. the UN, to make their move in their quest for the Temple Mount.
Well, to take away Israel's sovereignty over the holiest piece of land in the world.
Yes. And sadly, they will agree. With an agreement that they can build their temple, this, of course, will kickstart Daniel 9:27 soon after our departure. In fact, in reality, this has already been decided upon years ago. It's just not been openly announced. There has been many private conversations between Jordan, who actually has custodianship of the Temple Mount right now, and with Pope Francis, numerous times.
By the way, how is Israel doing these days?
Well, they're still fighting Hamas from the Gaza, who's still attacking them with rockets and hundreds of incendiary balloons. Almost 2 weeks now. But Israel's on top of it, and actually has now leveled many of Hamas's military sites in that area.
Why does Hamas persist in doing this?
For money to stop, sort of like the mafia. Meanwhile, we're not seeing any possible giveaways of Jerusalem's land to the Palestinians at this point. In fact, Israel insists that that will not happen.
But again, the Temple Mount could be that land to begin the tribulation.
Oh, yeah. So stay tuned and watch for that. And our representatives are once again in the Middle East, shoring up more Arab countries to join the pact recently made with the UAE, which looks promising. Therefore, with a little added honey, they could persuade the Palestinians to join in as well.
Pretty inevitable, don't you think?
Yes, because it's scripturally prophetic to be able to say, peace, peace, but there really isn't true peace. Not until Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation to set up his kingdom.
And all in God's timing.
And now we have another city of lawlessness.
Kenosha, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Another black man shot many times in the back, but is still alive. And it was by a white policeman.
So as expected, was soon followed by destructive rioting.
It's awful to watch, along with COVID and the yearly wildfires and the hurricanes hitting the golf course.
Yeah, it seems unending.
Mm-hmm. Well, the RNC kicked off last night, and at least that was pretty hopeful.
Like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. The Democratic National Convention was, in my mind, pretty horrific and short on any facts. And sadly, at two of their caucus meetings, they actually took the words "under God" out of the Pledge of Allegiance when they recited it.
Can you imagine the devil smiling?
Oh, inevitably. We don't have time to discuss the Postal Service and the randomized mail-in voting versus absentee voting, which is actually okay because you actually apply for it. But my question is, could Pelosi be acting president if the millions of mail-in ballots are not counted by January 20th?
Well, so I'm told.
Wow. They clearly have an agenda.
You think? Okay, you can send your end time question by email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are always greatly appreciated, and which will automatically add you to our mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, ShofarMinistries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Yes, a plethora of information.
How about a quick overview of what we covered last week?
Okay. Well, our lesson in Hebraic Roots 101 concerning the season of Teshuvah, which again began last week, means to repent and return to a deeper walk with the Lord. It begins yearly on the Hebrew month of Elul 1, which, as all Hebrew months do, starts on a new moon, which implies the beginning to something. So it's quite fitting, as Rosh Hashanah, the anniversary of the creation of man, also begins on a new moon.
Adam was sure the beginning of something.
Yes. Teshuvah is a yearly warning season and a time for a deep introspection of one's self, because some year it precedes our resurrection.
And to those left behind, the wrath of God begins.
Yes, Revelation chapter 4 through chapter 19, when we then return with him to set up his kingdom on earth.
Amen to that.
Amen. So the 30 days of Elul is really an important month. It's a good time for the church to reach out to the lost and the hurting to offer them the confidence of salvation before the last trump is blown on Rosh Hashanah.
The first 30 days of Teshuvah are observed differently than the last 10 days.
Yes, and is the first 10 days of the next month of Tishrei and the start of the new year. You see, the shofar trumpet is blown daily during Elul, along with special pre-dawn prayers for forgiveness. But on the 31st day of Teshuvah, which is Tishrei 1, 100 blasts are blown to usher in the new year, also called the Feast of Trumpets.
Yeah, that's very fitting.
Mm-hmm. What's really cool is that Paul literally wrote it down that some year the rapture slash resurrection will happen at the last trump, which those who understand their first century Hebrew roots knows it's described. He is describing Rosh Hashanah.
1 Corinthians 15:51.
Right. And right there in scripture in black and white.
Which we will dig deeper into next week.
We will. Because Rosh Hashanah is the most exciting feast of all.
Yeah, you know, I wish the listeners could witness your smiling exuberance right now.
Well, it does take me to my happy place. And I still remember about 25 years ago coming to know about the three trumpet idioms. It was like a huge light bulb and wishing I had known it sooner. But sad that many Christians still today don't get the importance of knowing even a little of their roots.
But our listeners do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And actually, this renewed knowledge from the first century is for the last days, as prophesied by Daniel 12:4. I think, honey, maybe you should read that.
Yeah, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the end of time. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase.
Now, many just assume it's all the great things we can now do compared to just 150 years ago before telephones. But that can be applied here too. However, the Hebrew word used here for knowledge is Strong's number 1847, Dayath. And in the lexicon, which contains more precise definition of words according to the verse where it is used, Daniel 12:4 specifically means God's knowledge.
As in more wisdom, perception, and discernment.
Therefore, spiritual knowledge even more so. Therefore, knowing Jewish customs and phrases from when Jesus walked here is the Lord's knowledge being made known to his bride, particularly in the latter days, more than, say, during the Dark Ages where it was really squelched and continued to be stifled up to our generation. And if you are still doubtful about a pre-trib rapture, remember when you read the letters to the seven churches prophetically, we are the Church of Philadelphia, and it says to just this particular church that he will keep us from the time of trial that happens to the whole earth someday, and probably soon.
Well, you know, anyhow, as we said last week, Jesus honored Teshuvah just prior to the beginning of his ministry.
He did, and that's an important nugget to go over again, because with a little calibration, we can know that Jesus fasted those 40 days in the wilderness during Teshuvah, when tempted by Satan on the very last and 40th day.
Which was Yom Kippur.
Yes, and it's a piece of that puzzle that fits as a spiritual prototype of how Jesus will return after the tribulation, also on a Yom Kippur, but this time to totally defeat Satan, for Jesus himself will then rule the earth literally.
Well, Satan did offer Jesus the world right then and there.
Which confirms just how powerful Satan is.
But only for a while.
Which is why evil still happens and increasing as scripture prophesied. And even more so just prior to Jesus' return.
And I also love how Moses foreshadows the second coming of Christ.
Oh, yeah. This bears repeating as well. Again, by doing some scrupulous math through scripture using the Hebrew calendar, we can know that Moses went back up on the mountain the second time for 40 days during what would later be called Teshuvah to repent for the people for worshiping the golden calf. Moses returned to the people from being with the Father on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, with the new set of tablets. Jesus, too, returns from the Father with his new millennial covenant on a Yom Kippur.
Go figure.
It's amazing to understand the parallels.
Yeah, well, Moses is definitely a prototype of Jesus.
Mm-hmm, it sure is. And it was Moses who first historically performed the first four feasts that Jesus later fulfilled on the exact same dates.
Well, you know, God is a date setter.
He is, and all the important dates have already been exactly fixed. And, as with the spring feasts, the fall feasts as well have historical applications.
And we'll be looking at them in the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's just so rewarding to connect the dots on all this, and that's why I have this passion for you, his bride, to know all about this. In no way could I ever hide the light of this knowledge under a basket.
You have a couple other scriptural occurrences to mention that happened during Teshuvah.
I do, like in Haggai chapter 1. You'll see that it starts right off making sure the reader knows it is Elul 1 by saying that it was on the first day of the sixth month. So by looking at the religious Hebrew calendar, as stated in Exodus 12, you can know it was the first day of their season of Teshuvah.
And again, meaning to turn more toward God.
Right. To please Him before ourselves, because although they knew of Him, they were not moving toward Him. And we all know if you are not progressing toward God, then you are essentially regressing. And so we see God purposely choosing this time of the year to correct them.
You know, and He still does today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you research calamities around the month of September, you'll see how often unpleasant events occur, as in 9/11 and so many hurricanes.
Yeah, just do a web search. You'll be amazed.
We can also see in the book of Haggai that God not only rebuked the Hebrews for the neglect in building His temple, but even more than that, we see more details about the condition of their hearts, where the cares of their lives were front and center instead of God.
Whoa, you know, that surely applies today.
You think? Yeah, anyway, Laodicean lazy Christians. Not socially, of course, but the condition of their hearts. Lacking passion to know Jesus more intimately through His Word, being spiritually content to stay as is. Do you know anyone like that?
Too many.
So God tells them in Haggai chapter 1, verse 5, and repeats it again in verse 7, to consider their ways.
Their houses were done well, but not God's house.
In fact, they felt all aspects of their lives were very adequate. So God says twice that they better consider their ways, meaning to turn around and get busy in doing what God requires, or He will withhold the rain, verse 11. Wow, I think of California's droughts.
And all the fires.
And the farmers with the high costs of paying crop pollinators because the bees are so scarce. It's interesting that when Israel was pushed out of their land, called the diaspora, the land then received little rain, not much growth of anything, just like Jesus said when He cursed the fig tree, a symbol for Israel. But as soon as the Jews began to return to their land, the rains came, and now Israel is a leading export of fruits and vegetables. The fig tree is blossoming again, and that is the number one sign that we are the generation to see His return.
Well, He said it, and I believe it.
But first, and soon, trouble is coming. For in their affliction, they will earnestly seek Me, Hosea 5:15 says. Jacob's trouble is coming, and they will, as a whole, finally receive Jesus Christ.
Another Teshuvah example is Ezekiel 8.
Oh, yeah. Once again, God makes sure we know that it's the sixth month when Ezekiel is shown Israel's idolatry in the temple, along with all manner of abominations, even amongst the elders. They were hiding in the dark like God couldn't see them. God says in verse 18, I will now act in My fury. So, in chapter 9, during Teshuvah, the wicked are slain, but not the righteous, who had a seal of protection. Certainly a prototype of what will happen in Revelation 7, where the sealed ones represent the 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel that will receive salvation. Right away, first off, after the rapture. And, of course, they are then marked for divine protection just before the seal judgments of chapter 6 are opened and the four horsemen arrive. So, Ezekiel 8 and 9 is a great read for typology. You know, the Old Testament is full of these prophetic pictures that God expects us to search for. That is why He put them in there. And what is amazing is that these are all the events that actually happened for our learning. So imagine this Hebrew month of Elul as the final preparation month just before your wedding, which some year it will be to Jesus. Except this preparation is not physical or material in nature, but rather spiritual. You know, like a New Year's resolution to get to know each other more and closer to get a better relationship for your soon coming husband and your king. Another gold nugget is that the Hebrew letters for Elul is Aleph, Lamad, Vav, and Lamad is an acronym for the words Ani Li Dodi Vi Dodi Li. And it's taken from the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 3, which translates, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Well, also on a really good note, according to traditional Jewish thought, this month can also be a time when God's people find particular favor with him, often due to judgment upon their enemies. And as we read in Nehemiah 6, he also says Teshuvah can be a time for reprimanding his people or a time to reprimand their enemies. And as we said, it is interesting when looking back at history, so many significant events do happen in late August and September. Even the United States became into existence on 9/9/1776. So, anyway, during Teshuvah, Isaiah 55, 6 through 7 is quoted in the synagogues, and I thought I'd like to leave you with this scripture. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return, which is Teshuvah, to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That is why they daily blow the shofar during Teshuvah, because it's a wake-up call to be alert. And Ephesians 5, 14 through 16 says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So, how do we become wise? The Word. And only a fool hates wisdom. Proverbs 4, do not forsake wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Because Jesus is the Word. Do you know him? Boy, you better hurry. It is a free gift that brings real freedom. But how about you? Maybe you're listening and you're one of those lazy Christians. Time to get humbly on your knees and teshuvah, repent, and get passionate for Jesus, your King. Maybe you have never, with your heart, truly made him Lord over your life. Don't wait any longer. Time really is running out. Get on your knees. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for your president as well. And of course, those who love Jerusalem, well, you're going to prosper. And that's going to be our home someday. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. So, keep looking up, watch for him, and next week we will begin the fall feasts. And that's in Leviticus 23, if you want to read up for that, that'll be great. Okay, see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.